The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And you're very welcome back to the second hour of the 9 till noon show. Good morning. If you're just after joining us, we are out and about today, which is lovely to come back off our break and then, I suppose, be visiting another part of Donegal. And we are in Gweedore. We're at Genesis Aesthetic Skin and Hair Studio. And they are celebrating 30 years in business. What a remarkable achievement. And there is an open invitation for you, by the way, if you're in and about the area, to come in today and say hello to the team. F92KCD5 is the air code if you're interested. There's tea and coffee downstairs and stuff, I believe. So just call in, say hello to the team here, see what it's all about. I'm sure they'll show you around as well. And as a special bonus, if you do happen to contact and book a treatment at Genesis today, you'll get 30% off for the cost of that treatment whenever you do tend to have it. So give them a call here, and I'll get the number for you if you want that, by the way. I just don't really realise, I just don't have it directly in front of me. But anyway, you can just call in and say hello to the team here as well. They want you to come in. There's no obligation to book anything. You don't have to do that. There is also lines to be bought here to support Donegal Cancer Flights and Services. I'll give you more info on that a little later on. And our lines are open for all the usual business as well, 086 60 25000, WhatsApps and texts. You can watch the show as well across X at Highland Radio. I can't remember what the address is. Is it at Highland Radio? I think so. At Highland Radio Donegal it is. We're streaming live on YouTube and Facebook, so you can watch us on your smart TV or your Fire Stick. Just go to Highland Radio Ireland. Tommy Martin Doherty, and I'm also not as green looking as I was in the first hour, by the way. We've switched the camera. I look like something between someone who's very ill and Homer Simpson. Tommy Martin Doherty from Derry Reels getting married today to Denise Shine and Dunfanaghy. The best of luck from Tommy's mum and dad. Greg, it would be much appreciated if you can announce that there will be a Zoom meeting held tonight at 8 p.m. for Irish alienated parents to mark International Bubbles of Love Day. That's Parental Alienation Awareness. If you are a parent or a grandparent and you wish to attend, just message Alienated Children First of Fathers, All Fathers Matter Ireland on Facebook. Right, to some comments here. That's nonsense and misleading. A 40-minute drive from Letterkenny to Donegal Airport, more like over an hour driving correctly. Well, it's 52 minutes via Google Maps. I didn't travel from Letterkenny today, so maybe I conflated my journey time and the time from Letterkenny, but it's under an hour. I see Niall Blaney's election posters up already. I think the law is they should not be put up till 30 days before the election, which is on the 7th of June. I don't know. I'm sure Senator Blaney wouldn't say it's a grey area, but they aren't election posters as such. They are promoting an event, but I suppose his competitors or those who might be standing against him might say, well, they look like election posters to me. Another caller says, Fianna Fáil have long been a party who made rules for other people and never obeyed them themselves. A party of smart guys, the good fellas, and Mr. Blaney's stunt with his election posters up a month before anyone else is just such a trick. Again, just to clarify, it is contention they aren't election posters. They don't mention Blaney number one or Europe or anything like that. But anyway, people are entitled to their interpretations as well. Yes, they're legal, says this listener, continuing. They're technically advertising an event, but they are against the spirit of the law and the spirit of fair play. I'm not a member of any political party or a supporter of any other candidate, they claim. Greg, we all know Mr. Blaney wouldn't break the rules. Okay, well done to Mary Ferry. Wish her all the best. As a parent from the area, says another listener, I'm delighted to see Mary create this business, give our young people opportunities without having to move away from home. Okay, so that's just a taste of the messages coming in so far this morning. As I say, keep us in the loop. 086 60 25000, WhatsApps and texts, or give us a call on 07491 25000. It is the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. Radio, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show, and I hope I can say good morning now to Kieran Nixon, Jehovah's Witness. Good morning to you. Can you hear me okay, Kieran?
Good morning, Greg.
Wow, and I can nice hear you. The wonders of modern technology. Okay. Right. This is your voice, your community. And it's an opportunity, I suppose, to speak to a member of the Jehovah's Witness community and learn a little bit more about it. Because I think, you know, members of the Jehovah's Witness community can often be the butt of jokes, and there can be a narrow, really, understanding of their role in society. Is that a fair enough assessment, Kieran?
Yeah, I suppose it would be. It'd be naive to think that wasn't true, Greg. Maybe over the years, because of our door-to-door work, people have seen us as a comical effect at times, yeah.
And talk to us about the door-to-door work. What is the function of that? Is it part of a process, or not a process? That sounds loaded. But talk to me where the door-to-doors, might as well get that out of the way to begin with, right? Talk to me about where the door-to-door element of being a Jehovah's Witness fits into being a Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah, well, we like to spread as much knowledge of what we personally have learned ourselves from the Bible. And so the best way to meet people is just to go straight to them. And so that's why it is that we go around systematically door from door to try and meet as many people. That's the reason for.
Right. So that makes sense. How did Jehovah's Witnesses, the community, begin in the Northwest here? Can we trace it back to its roots?
Yeah, well, primarily in Ireland, it started from 1930 onwards, where you... Bible students, stroke Jehovah's Witnesses, start to appear more and more in the streets of Ireland. But primarily in the Northwest, from the 1980s onwards, it started to increase more then. There was a small local group at the time. There was about 19 in the area at the time. But then what happened was ones from England would come over to do, as we've talked about there, the door-to-door work or to meet people. And they loved the area so much and they loved the people so much that a few of them started to move over, and then gradually over time, local ones took an interest and started to join the congregation as well.
And how, so, the collective is a congregation, is that correct? I want to use the correct terminology.
Yeah, congregation, yeah. Or collective, whatever suits you.
And how large now is the Jehovah's Witness congregation in Donegal, and where is its, you know, its heart or its base?
Yeah, so the one in Letterkenny is in Lismonahan there. So if you're going up the hill, it's just on the left-hand side. But there's also one in Buncrana, and there's also one in Donegal Town. So overall, there regularly is about 250 members that come along to those kingdom halls, as we call them, and spend time together studying the Bible, looking at Bible
and topic. How is the religion practiced then, in terms of, you know, services, how often they are and what have you?
Yeah, so they're done twice a week, on a Thursday night and on a Sunday morning. But the Sunday morning one is an interesting one because we spend time there discussing things which are primarily on the minds of people worldwide. And we try to focus in on what the Bible says about these issues. And what in the future God is going to do about the problems that people are facing. So we really love to invite as many people to come along on a Sunday morning at 10:30 and listen to your talk, which we hope will be of encouragement to them.
And in terms of a service, people might be more familiar listening to the show, you know, with a service as part of the Protestant faith, the Catholic faith. Are they similar? Are they the same? Where do they diverge?
Well, our primary thinking on matters, because of our studies of the scriptures, is number one, that we believe that God has a name, and his name is Jehovah. Sadly, a lot of people don't know that because the translations of the Bibles that have been around for hundreds of years now have actually removed God's name from it. So that would be the reason why we're called Jehovah's Witnesses. The other thing is that we have great faith that there's a really good hope for this earth, that even though it's in a really
But just before
state,
that, just in terms of the Holy Trinity, for an example, I think, and I, don't, yeah. I might expose my own flaws in my knowledge here, but, you know, you've got the Father, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, that Holy Trinity, all the same, all equal, of equal standing. Jehovah's Witnesses believe something different to that. Jesus Christ is seen as the firstborn son of God. Does that indicate that Jesus Christ had siblings, or?
Yes, yeah, so we would believe that Jehovah God is the supreme being. He is the universal Father, and we would believe that Jesus is his only begotten son. So he was the first of his creation, a very important individual, deeply loved by God and loved by us. And the Holy Spirit would be a God's active force.
So it's not the Holy Spirit is not seen as an individual. It's seen as the will, the force, the act of God.
That's it. Yeah, that's our understanding of the scriptures on that. Yeah,
it's okay. And you were talking to then about what Jehovah's Witnesses believe about God's role into the future. I think that's where you were going.
Yeah. So we recognize that the earth is in turmoil now, and we understand that God has a deep love for mankind, and many people would say to us when we meet them on our door-to-door work or on the streets, you know, why doesn't God do something about the problems here on the earth? And yet when we study the Bible, we realize that he is going to do that. He has a great plan to transform this earth back into what he originally wanted it to be and make it into a paradise and a peaceful home for all mankind to live on.
And is there a timeline on that?
No, I mean, the scriptures don't tell us what the exact date is. That would be lovely if it did, but it doesn't. But it does give us signs to look out for. Jesus told us of signs to look out for. And many of those signs are happening now in a composite way. And that indicates to us that we're living in very important times and very good times to have a great faith in what the future holds, because we believe that it won't be long before we'll see great changes here.
Now, end times is this is where it might be more of a reach for people, in that there's a particular belief and a particular number in relation to that. Talk me through that.
Well, Jesus' disciples actually wanted to know what you're asking now. They wanted to know when was it that they were going to see the kingdom in place. And so Jesus said, okay, well, I'll tell you some of the things to look out for. To look out for wars all over the earth, natural disasters happening, that people would have a lack of love for each other on the earth. And then the Apostle Paul went on to actually reinforce that whenever he was talking about the last days of the system as we know it. And he would talk about disobedient to parents, unthankful people. So when you put all that together, it really shows that we are living in, as I said, very important times, but also times where we believe that we need to take note and really get to know what the scriptures say about this matter.
And end times are believed to have started 1914. And when the end comes, though it's not timelined, 144,000 human beings take up their place in heaven. And then the rest live in paradise on earth. What's the relevance of the 144,000?
Well, the 144,000 is just an administrative body, really. I mean, the scriptures tell us that there'll be kings and priests in heaven. And it makes sense, really, because, you know, Jesus loved the earth so much that he has selected certain individuals to be with him in heaven, to form a form of government in heaven, which is already in place. And they would then help to rebuild the earth back into that paradise state. So that's why it's limited to a number. I suppose it's a bit like you have government officials that represent the people of Ireland. They meet there to discuss the problems and the wills of local people. But the local people don't go there themselves. They would stay in their homes. So the 144,000 would do the same role as that. They would know what it felt like to be humans. And so they would bring that knowledge to heaven with them and then govern the earth.
I don't think it's a private question. Are you anointed?
No.
Right.
No, I'm not. My hope is to be here on the earth.
I get you. Because the anointed go to go to heaven, and the majority then, it's not seen as a negative then to remain on Earth, to rebuild Earth and what have you. Now, how large is the congregation around the world then? I mean, is there a spiritual center, if you know what I mean, like Bethlehem or wherever that might be?
No, not there wouldn't be a spiritual center in a sense. We have branch offices all over the earth, which organize our distribution of literature primarily, and just any sort of needs that the territory may have. We have a central branch office in America, but it wouldn't particularly hold any major significance. The buildings in themselves and the places where these things operate are of no major significance. The major significance to us is that Jesus is the King of God's kingdom, and that he oversees the work which is being done here on the earth.
And just in relation to where we started, I suppose, in terms of, you know, trying to spread the message, going from door to door, I suppose in this day and age with heightened security concerns, and we hear regular, you know, we hear regular advice from Ungodish Yukon as it relates to, you know, answering your door to cold callers and that type of thing. Now, I'm sure, you know, anyone representing Jehovah's Witnesses will have, you know, something to demonstrate that, and they'll explain the door and what have you. But is it becoming more of a difficult practice? And, you know, there's more than one reason perhaps to you know, refuse to engage on the doorstep with a member.
Yeah, we absolutely understand that to be true. In fact, we see the Ring style doorbells, which have cameras on them now, more and more as we go around, because people are so conscious of this. And we deeply respect that. That is why we have a website now, jw.org, which is available for people to look at privately. So if somebody isn't there, many times we'll put something through the door which will direct people to the website, and then they can look at things privately without any interference from us or from anybody else. And if there's something that they're concerned about, they can look on the website about it.
Okay. Well, listen, it's been an interesting conversation. I've learned a lot today. I'm sure many people listening have. Is there anything that you want to sort of, you know, finish on, maybe in terms of, I don't know, public perception of Jehovah's Witnesses? I know you've extended an invitation for people to join if they were to wish in Liss Monaghan. But is there anything that sort of I've missed on that you think would be worthwhile to clarify whilst we are chatting?
Yeah, no, I appreciate you giving me the time this morning, Greg, and it's been lovely to be with your listeners. And one thing I just wanted to mention is that we want so much for people to not view us as something which is somewhere to fear or stay away from. Like I said, we try to encourage people to come along and see what we do at our Kingdom Hall. But on top of all that, we have a large convention, which this year is being held in the Lisburn area. And there'll be thousands of people will come to that. And also there'll be a large invitation to people of Donegal to come along to that as well. And just hear positive things connected with good news to try and raise people's spirits up and give them a hope for the future. That's ultimately what our aim is whenever we meet people.
Okay, again, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it. Take care of yourself. Okay, that was our Your Voice, Your Community section. That was Kieran Nixon, who is a Jehovah's Witness. I don't know if you found that informative or you weren't interested at all. What's to say? But the whole purpose of this item is to learn a little bit more about each other. We are all part of the one community, but there are subsets within that. And Kieran and 250 of your fellow county people, at least, are members of the Jehovah's Witness congregation, and they meet in Letterkenny on Sundays and all that kind of stuff. Okay. By the way, the bingo numbers, there was a slight error with them. My apologies. It's bingo jackpot day. And of course, of all the days, there's going to be an error. It's going to be on jackpot day, isn't it? So bear with me. We'll be going to those numbers very, very shortly. Just to remind you that it's business as usual here on the 9 till noon show, with the exception that we are broadcasting live from Genesis Aesthetic Skin and Hair Studio in Gweedore. They're celebrating 30 years in business. We heard from Mary Ferry Brennan a little earlier on, but you are also invited to drop in here to say hello to Mary and us and the team. F92KCD5 is the air code, if you want to pop that in your phone, or if you are from the area and you're familiar with it, just call in, say hello. And also also, as an added bonus as well, there are two things you can do. A, you can book a treatment here and get 30% off if booked today to mark the 30th anniversary. But also, two, you can buy a ticket for a draw for a hamper worth well in excess of €400, and it's to support Donegal Cancer Flights and Services. And if you weren't aware of the Donegal Cancer Flights and Services, supporting over 400 people to seek treatment outside of the county, we're going to be learning a little bit more about their important work a little later on in the show. And by the way, if you want to call here with any inquiries, I don't want to read out too many numbers, but it might be useful if you want to make a booking and save yourself 30%, 953-2575. And what's coming up later on in the programme, Moya Brennan, the Donegal Person of the Year, is going to be joining us in our studio very soon. We're going to be chatting to Kevin Robinson and Dominic Sharkey, I beg your pardon, they're jivers. And we've got some live music from Matthew Brennan and Killian Green. That's in studio as well. And as I say, later we'll hear about the Donegal Cancer Flights and Services. So lots coming up here on the 9 till noon show. Stay right where you are. Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. And really pleased to say we're joined in studio now by Moya Brennan, Irish folk singer, songwriter, harpist, author, and Donegal Person of the Year 2023. Thank you so much for calling in to us, Moya, and a big congratulations on the rightful recognition as Donegal's Person of the Year for 2023.
Wow, thank you so much. It's great to be here. Yeah. And of course, it's just right beside my doorstep. So
we didn't ask you to travel too far today.
Not at all, okay. Not at all, no.
Talk to me about what it felt being named Donegal Person of the Year.
First of all, it was overwhelming to be given the title and to be recognised. I mean, you know, I have accolades around the world and, you know, with BAFTAs and Grammys and things, but there's nothing like being recognised at home, nothing like it. But it was just, I mean, the night itself was, I knew it was special, but goodness me, it was really overwhelming and very emotional.
It was a celebration, right? It
it's
was a celebration.
Huge celebration.
Of you. And I thought the video in particular, they put a little video package together
for you.
Oh my gosh,
I know. That was a huge surprise to me.
I loved it. I was wondering at one point, would Bono ever shut up singing your praises? And I mean that in the nicest possible way.
Absolutely.
He had so much to say. But that, and a real sense too, of your community and family being there with you, celebrating
Absolutely.
With you. There was something particularly special about that. It wasn't simply to mark this wonderful, it was a celebration of you.
Well, it was.
And
it was overwhelmed the amount of people that were there. It was the biggest crowd they've had in ages. And you know, just walking in with Elaine, the president of the Donegal Association, and the piper in front of us, and everybody stood up. It was like, and I was kind of, it was really overwhelming and humbling, and then just, you know, everybody's kind of talking about you, they're there for you, and all the different types of people that came as well to celebrate with
me. Did you allow yourself to fully enjoy the spotlight? Or were you, I don't know, were you a...
It was a different kind of spotlight,
yeah,
I suppose, you know, in a way. And, you know, I was quite nervous. I had to make a speech, so... You know, there was, you know, I had to sort of reserve myself. There was very little eating and drinking going on before that. But, you know, I knew that there was great friends there, great family there, particularly musical friends as well, like Mairéadh Ní Mhuinne and the Friel sisters, Altan, you know. And that kind of support as well, Cormac de Barra that plays with me and my band. And you know, it was just an amazing celebration. Mm. I mean, people I talked to afterwards, they said it was one of the best parties they were ever at. I mean, I think I was one of the last people to leave with Sean McGinley, the actor, at 6 a.m. when we were eventually thrown out of the bar. But, you know, you just didn't want it to end, because they kind of, after we played the music and Altan were playing and the Friel sisters, and then we were all on the stage playing together, singing together, and then after that sort of finished, the session started.
Yeah.
And then when they threw us out of the ballroom, we all went into the bar, and the session was, you know, Mickey Joe Hart was there, and local people, Sean Rogers was singing, and Barley was singing, and loads of different people, Gavin from the Mary from the Low Festival was singing. Like,
Mr. McGranahan was there as well, of course.
Yes. It was amazing. It was really amazing.
And I think, too, and I think this is a tribute to the organisers, but also yourself and those that were celebrating with you. Obviously, it was organised and it was structured, but it didn't have that feel to it either, if you know what I mean. It felt very natural and organic, if that makes sense.
That's, and anybody that knows me, I suppose, it was that type of night. Because Elaine would say to me, you know, we're kind of, well, we can carry on with the rest. I said, let's keep going, it's grand. But, you know, myself, I'm dyslexic, so I can't really write notes down for myself. So I always sort of, during the week, I was kind of saying what I wanted to say. But it was, to me, I just wanted to be as natural at what I wanted to say that night myself as well, and people felt that. But you're right, it had that feeling of just... not totally structured. It was just kind of everybody just feeling the natural feel of the night and the celebration and everything. It was really amazing. So I'm getting loads now of people asking me to open events and different things. I'm opening the run and walk in Letterkenny on the 6th of May, and then there's some prize giving in a college in Milford, and somebody in the Leonard Festival in Remelton wants me to. It's lovely. It's
nice,
really,
isn't
it? It is.
It's kind of different.
I'll do as many as,
well.
as I can.
Because as you say, you know, you've been there, you've done that. Grammy Awards, 5 nominations, yeah. Emmy Awards. But there is something about, and there's some other very famous people from this part of the world as well that appreciate that. It's lovely to be working with and alongside your community as well.
Absolutely. I think that's, you know, when it boils down to it, that's really the bottom line. Mm-hmm. You know, family, friends, where you come from and everything is for me, the most natural thing, and it just always makes me happy. You know?
How did the publication of your autobiography, The Other Side of the Rainbow, go for you and affect you? And that's, you know, it's, you put it all out there, really, you know, obviously the wonderful highs. But I think it's also really, really good when people like you who appear to have it all, right, that recognize that it doesn't really matter. We're all humans with our frailties and our experiences, and it's all relative. What was it like putting all that out there?
It's a while ago now, but it was daunting. It was the hardest thing I ever did, actually. Mm. You know, when you're writing down, and because you have to proofread it, you know, you have to reread everything that you're saying about yourself. Mm-hmm. So it was a real learning point as well. But when I was asked to write it, I refused first. And then when they said, look, it might be something that might help people. I mean, I got the most wonderful letters from all around the world, from all walks of life, just saying that it helped them. It kind of made them feel that it was, you know, as you said, you know, we're all the same.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter that if I'm on this stage and I look as if I'm, you know, nobody's different, you know. That's we're it. All going the same way,
yeah.
You know.
Well, as I say, and as I'm aware it was some time ago, but it's still quite a significant, you know, little checks we have in our life. I was talking to Mary Ferry about that a little earlier on. You know, there's significant things that happen in our lives. So I presume that was one of them. And the most recent then event in Dublin's another one, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I mean, there's ups and downs in everybody's life. But you just get on with it. And it's like something like, you know, the night in Dublin with the Donegal Person of the Year. I mean, that was such a high that, you know, I mean... I'm still going around with a smile on my face, you know. And, you know, just even
the people you love and your family up there as well, too. You know,
yes, it's indeed. But, you know, and family that couldn't be there from Australia, and we sent all their greetings and everything, you know. But it's lovely. And, you know, being back here in Gwydor and everybody still, you know, coming up to me because I meet people every day, and over in the pub when I was over at the Club Yaw, you know, everybody's saying congratulations every day. There's so much goodwill. And, like, that's a positive thing. And you can feel that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I'm a huge person in that kind of sort of feeling the good vibes. You know?
I always wonder because, you know, all of us are different, and I kind of move forward in life, and I kind of remember bits and bobs of my past and certain experience, but not an awful lot more. Is it somewhat surreal when you're sort of may go back all over it again, and you hear from people that you've worked in the past, and does it kind of feel out of body-ish? Like, or are you the type of person that logs experiences really, really well? I'm just wondering, when you look back at those videos and you look back at what people are saying about you, like...
I enjoy them now.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, especially if you're looking at videos that you did and the you know, the state of your hair or the way you... the fashion that you were wearing at that time or something like that. Yeah, I mean, I take it all aboard now. Mm. And can cope with it, no problem. You know what I mean? It's kind of something. You know, I've had, goodness, over 50 years of in the music business alone, and it's been an amazing career. And
which continues. You know, so what excites?
Still continuing. Yeah,
what excites you going forward? Is it seeing and maybe working with, you know, another generation of musicians? Is it sort of maybe, you know, creating that piece of work that's still in you that you haven't got out yet? I mean, what excites you going forward about music or the culture of music?
Well, there's always something. I mean, when somebody says to me, you know, what advice can you give me? I always say, when you think you know it all, give it up.
Yeah.
Because I'm still learning. I mean, I have a new album coming out that we're launching on the 12th of May. And it's something that, you know, it's a project with a tribute to Mary O'Hara.
Mm-hmm.
Mary O'Hara now was a harp player, mm-hmm. and a singer way back in the 50s and 60s. But she's never had the accolade and the acclaim that, you know, okay. I mean, like you hear about the Clancys, the Chieftains, whatever.
Yeah.
And she did Carnegie Hall. She did the Sydney Opera House. She did Royal Albert Hall. This person was amazing. And she brought songs that would have died, like a lot of children's songs, like Galilee and the Gown and things like that. Lord of the Dance, she was the one that kind of made it popular.
Okay.
That Michael Flatley kind of borrowed for a while. I still borrow.
Try and wrestle,
you know,
that off him.
But, you know, Thomas Moore's yeah. song, beautiful. So when Cormac DeBarra, who plays with me now, because Clannad now are finished touring, but I do my own thing. And also what excites me is my own kids are with me. Now, they have their own projects as well, but they don't mind, you know, playing with their old mother on stage. Mm. But when I said to Cormac, I said, it'd be really nice to do a tribute album to Mary O'Hara.
Mm.
So there's always something new. And my parents sent me to Sligo to learn the harp because that's where she was from and that's where she started to play.
Okay.
And then Cormac turned around to me and he says, well, you know, when she went to Dublin then, who was her teacher? But his grandmother and his grandaunt.
Wow.
And learned the songs from his family that she made known, particularly the Gaelic songs and all. Mm. And so there was this huge connection. So that was exciting. Do you know what I mean?
Circle,
it was like,
yeah.
it, there's always projects that excite you. So this is really exciting. And the reason we're launching it on the 12th of May in Galway is she's still alive. And she's going to be 89 on the 12th of May, and she's coming to the launch.
That's what I was going to ask you, because in a way, this is almost her Donegal Person of the Year 2023, I'd imagine, to have people, especially if you're calibre, Moya, sort of recognising her work and for the reason that you're doing it. I mean,
she's amazing.
What's the reaction been from her and her family? It must just be
huge.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why she's coming. I mean, she'll be 89, and she says, I want to come, and I think her nephew, who's Sebastian Barry, the writer, he's going to come, and some other family members and cousins of hers. And I was really chuffed that the Harp Association of Ireland decided that this would be a good plan. So it's, you know, when things come together, it makes it really exciting.
Mm.
And so that's what keeps me going and doing the music. And then I'm in the middle of my own next project with my kids, whom I'm writing with, because their influence is completely different
to mine.
And
I was going to say, what kind of style are you working on? Is it the more traditional? Are you seeing where it goes in the studio?
I see where it goes. Like, I'm going to be always me, like my own kind of, you know, that I've been doing for years. But working with Aisling and Paul, it's kind of exciting in that because their influences are completely different to mine. Mm. So there's no point in me doing an album like I did, you know, 5 years ago or 10 years ago. So by working with them and writing with them, it'll just add another, you know, excitement part. So that's what kind of keeps
Brilliant.
Me going. And I just came back from Germany there last week from a tour. And before that, I did a extensive UK tour, which was absolutely brilliant. And, you know, I'm still excited you know,
of course, why
continuing
wouldn't you be?
Doing
it's brilliant.
Stuff,
I'm fascinated listening to it. Loads of love coming in for you, as you mentioned. Moya Brennan, this is just an example. Moya Brennan is such a beautiful lady inside and out. Mm-hmm. All the very best to you. That's from Dolores, and there's many more with beautiful messages. Lovely. So the new album is out, and it's a tribute to Mary O'Hara.
I'll get you one so you can maybe...
Please do. Yeah. It's out on May... or it's officially launched May 12th, is that the...?
Yeah, we did have it on tour with us, but, you know, and we're selling really, really well. Because people were interested in the story behind it. But it was just nice to have a...
It would have been a waste not to take it on tour, wouldn't it? Because, you know, it's a sort of a soft launch and people get a wee early look.
Exactly.
It makes it exciting.
Yeah. So, yeah. But it's nice that it's happened, that the way it's fallen on her birthday. So that makes it even... you know, more exciting.
I think that's beautiful on so many different levels, especially that Mary's able to be there and
it's
to be
amazing.
A celebration of her life
and
what have you. Moya, it's always a pleasure to have you on the programme. And again, congratulations on the Donegal Person of the Year Award 2023 and all that's coming along with that. As if you're not busy enough, you know, going to Milford and going here and going there. Exactly. But listen, it's been absolutely wonderful having you on. Thank you so very much. All right, okay.
Thank you.
That is Moya Brennan there, of course, an Irish folk singer, songwriter, harpist, author, and Donegal Person of the Year. It is the 9 till noon show here in Highland Radio, and our next guest will be joining us in just a couple of moments. Stay right where you are. Right, we are joined in our studio here by Kevin Robinson. Good morning, Kevin. Thank you so much for joining us. Dominic Sharkey's with us as well. Dominic, good morning.
Morning, Greg.
And also we have Joanne Sweeney. Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Good, good, good. I'm just trying to get the levels right so we can hear everything that you have to say. Okay. Kevin, you were jiving at the weekend.
Yes.
Talk to me about it.
They all aired in town.
Can I just ask you to move a little closer? Who put this man on a seat with wheels? All I can see is he going,
he doesn't need wheels, trust me, he doesn't need wheels.
He's rolling backwards. Could you put the handbrake on with him?
I'm over 50, so...
You scraped into this category, I understand.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, put it like this, I'm well over 50, put it.
Well, you don't look it, but anyway, we'll not focus on your age. Let's talk about the jiving.
Yeah.
It was the All-Ireland Jiving Championships the weekend in Shearwater and Ballinasloe. And, it's a fantastic event in that, you know, in a group.
And it is exactly how I imagine it, is it? You have a partner and you jive and you're judged and you came out on top.
Yeah, Friday night, myself and Joanne, we were in the over 50s, so there was two heats of...
And you drive together, is that correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so then we got through to the final for Sunday, and yes, we come out on top. Yeah.
Have you been jiving all of your life, Joanne?
This last 20-odd years or so, yeah.
Okay.
I didn't jive till I met my husband, so... started jiving then and away every weekend.
So at what point, Joe, can you just move that mic a little closer to Joanne if you don't mind? At what point do you sort of say, right, I enjoy jiving, it's good night out and all that kind of stuff, and then you sort of say, right, well, maybe I can enter a competition?
We never enter competitions, but Kevin asked me, would
he roped you into it?
Yes, okay. He did, and everything afterwards since. I was honoured to be asked, and I enjoyed every minute of it. I would have spun around and done it straight off the bat again. It was fantastic. It was such a well-run competition. I mean, the judges changed every night. You were marked on your scores. Every time you danced, you had to change position in the floor. Each song had a different tempo. You had a slow jive, a fast jive, even faster dying at the end. So it was a very, very well-run competition.
Yeah, brilliant stuff.
You have to admire Gerard Butler and the Shearwater Hotel. They ran a fantastic show all weekend.
And Kevin, did you start the same way as Joanne, just doing it for the crack as part of a night out?
Really, it was for the fun of it. And we decided we were picked in Donegal Town, in the early January.
Was that in the Abbey?
Abbey Hotel in Donegal Town. And the girl that I was dancing with that night, her wedding anniversary was last weekend there, so she couldn't go. So my wife says to me, Tracy, she says, why don't you ask Joanne Sinead?
Right, so John, you came in at short notice then?
Yeah.
So,
late sob.
It was great. Like, the two of us really clicked together.
Yeah.
And it was like, we really chuffed it.
Joanne came off the bench and scored the winner.
She really, 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 really,
we also have Dominic Sharkey with us. You were in the same competition, different age category, obviously.
That's right, Greg, yeah, over 18s event, myself and Lana O'Leary from Convoy was in.
All right, okay. And how long have you been jiving for?
I've been jiving this last maybe 12 to 15 years, yeah. Started off in my auntie and Brady in Oney's Bar there in Dunlow, so she taught me everything I know, so.
Yeah, so you're a plumber by day, jiver by
that's
night.
It, yeah, yeah.
Or a driver by day if the boss isn't watching. Unless
right,
you're
yeah.
the boss.
Right,
okay. And you, you travel all over the country, do you?
Travel all around, yeah.
In competitions or just where you know there's a good night out?
Every weekend we go just social dancing, like, to the... Mm. The Abbey, say, or Clannery, or places like that there, and then whenever the competitions come up, then we try to attend them and see how we get
on. And where do you see, do you have a preferred venue now?
I do like going to the Abbey there. They do hold good weekends, Friday,
they've
Saturday,
really
Sunday.
Sort of seen a market there, haven't they?
Yeah,
and gone for it, in
yeah,
fairness.
It's a great venue, and it's packed out.
And you have to get the right artists up too, don't
that's
you?
That's right, yeah, they do indeed.
Right, they're getting huge crowds down there as well, and of course the... Allingham as well, always popular on a Saturday night, isn't it? And when did you decide to sort of go, right, there's a competition in me here, you know, I can...
Well, we were dancing in the Mary from Dunlow competition last year, and we won it, and that was us through to the Jiving Championships there past the
Brilliant.
Weekend, so that was our ticket to go through, so...
Fantastic. Is there worlds now? No.
Or no. No worlds, no.
All right, brilliant stuff. And yeah. Of course, too, you know, I think we're advantaged because there's a sort of a line in Ireland where there's a lot of country nights and just not quite so many south of that. You know, that's why we see all the best acts up here all of the time, because there's just a brilliant market for them up here.
Yeah.
You know, particularly here in the west of the county. All right, brilliant stuff. Lovely to chat to you.
Thanks very much.
Indeed.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Kevin Robinson, Dominic Sharkey, Joanne Sweeney, and who's not to say you won't retain the titles next week? Next year. What do you think?
That's it, yeah.
Right, okay.
Hopefully.
Brilliant. Okay, thanks so much for calling in.
Thanks very much, Greg. Lovely having you on. Lovely.
All right, okay, it is the 9 till noon show. We'll be back with the news headlines after we take a quick break.